There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, where we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I want to let's go to some audio right now from Washington as the presser is going on about a wider war in the Middle East. Questions coming in. Right, go to one.
Are you condemning this, and do you have any other reaction regarding the killing of journalists? It's continuing since October 7th.
I don't have any specifics about this particular strike to speak to, so it's difficult for me to get into any detailed discussion of it. We obviously continue to not only recognize and honor the service that journalists do around the world, particularly in places like Gaza. It's very dangerous. It's a combat zone. We know that that takes a special kind of bravery for a journalist to go on the ground in a place like that, and we want to make sure, as I think Corrine has mentioned herself in just the last day or so, that press freedoms are observed and recognized and respected, and that reporters are allowed to do their job, and that includes covering the war in Gaza. But I just don't have any detail on this particular strike to be able to characterize it one way or the other. Obviously, our hearts go out to the families and all those who are touched and affected by this terrible loss.
I know we talked about what you've said before about the temperature going down, but Secretary Austin also spoke about this and said that the sense was that the temperature was going down in the Middle East. So can you say to what extent this was a surprise? Like, was
these
the U.S.
reports over the
guard?
These reports over the last 48 hours certainly don't help with the temperature going down. I'm not going to be Pollyannish about it. We're obviously concerned about escalation. And again, without confirming the reports over the last 24 in terms of Tehran, certainly the IDF has already spoken to operations that they've conducted elsewhere. All of this adds to the complicated nature of what we're trying to get done. And what we're trying to get done is a ceasefire deal that can get you 6 weeks in phase one, get a lot of hostages, the most at risk, out of there and home with their families, and get some more humanitarian assistance in there. I know I keep coming back to that, but it's important that we do keep coming back to that, because that's what we're really trying to drive at. And if we can get to phase one, by God, we can maybe get to phase two. And if you can get to phase two, maybe you can get a cessation of hostilities. When you have events, dramatic events, violent events, caused by whatever actors, it certainly doesn't make the task of achieving that outcome any easier.
But, you know, who is Israel supposed to negotiate with if the leader of Hamas is dead?
Again, I can't confirm the reports coming out of Tehran or Hamas's statements. We still believe there's a viable process. We still believe there's interested counterparts. And we still believe that there are meetings and discussions to be had. We wouldn't have a team over there right now if we didn't believe that it was possible to try to gather together and push this forward.
Okay, thank you.
All right, just a little bit of it. Before we went on, there were more directed questions there to John Kirby, responding to what I opened the show with and the worry of the escalation. And two things. Of course, the strike in Lebanon against Hezbollah from Israel. It's one thing, but still in a sovereign country, but Hezbollah operating right there out of Lebanon. But then, and you would say, well, you know, what does it matter if you're flying in, you've taken out a Hezbollah leader and you're going into Iran? Well, the problem is that they are a sovereign country, right? It's not like a terrorist group, a sovereign country. And for, I would say, even at the lowest level for their internal politics, they're gonna fight back, right? They're gonna fight back, and then what escalation does that bring? You know, so the political leader Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas was killed there in Iran, but Israel has to cross a lot of airspace to get in there to do that. This is, once again, it's not about what, you know, people will text. I'll get to the text in a second. Say, well, you know, Israel's in the right, Iran's in the wrong. I agree, but that doesn't mean it doesn't escalate further. I want to read you a couple things too off a, and I put these up on our Twitter feed. I retweeted them. A guy that I know, Dalton, follows and I follow on Twitter, this OSINT defender, and pretty has been pretty solid, you know, since I've been following him in on things in the Middle East and elsewhere in battle zones. He said this, first of all, he said, during the address, so I didn't hear this, but during the address, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu really made it sound like he thought they were heading for a major war. Okay, so that's, so Netanyahu is, instead of just saying, oh, we'll have operations, well, he said we're heading for a major war in so many words. And then this comes out just a little bit later. So beginning tomorrow, both United Airlines and Delta have canceled all their further flights to and from Ben-Gurion International Airport in Tel Aviv, Israel. So they've, and I don't know if they've canceled elsewhere in Israel, but they're at the airport, Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. Two American airlines, United and Delta, have canceled all further flights there. This is what it looks like, right? This is what it looks like as we get closer and closer to what I've seen coming since October. All right, back to the text line here. This is interesting. Jason says in commentary to the conversation I had with Erica Thomas about and she's had several of these stories about the poultry industry in Alabama, and she grew up, she worked in poultry houses growing up. She knows this inside and out. But this this text from Jason said, they also turn lifelong friends into enemies. And Jason, there's some of that in her story as well, but he said they turn lifelong friends into enemies, pitting them against each other. So these chicken producers, he said, I have family north of Chattanooga in Whitwell, Tennessee, that's contracted with, how do you pronounce it? It's a Coke in this case. It's Koch Coke Foods. I don't know how they pronounce it, K-O-C-H. And they're considering selling out right now. I tell you what we're going to do, Jason. I talked to Erica. I've got a new feature coming up here on the station the next month or so, an addendum to this show. And I'm going to do some longer form interviews that I like to do. And one of them, we're going to tackle this and really get into this story because it's a big deal for Alabama. You have local producers now, like, people have talked about, and Erica said, you have foreign companies buying out these local chicken houses. But and we'll try to get Rick Pate on the show as well, Ag Commissioner for the state of Alabama. Poultry is huge. It's huge for the state of Alabama. It's huge. We talked about the port again today. The amount of Rick Clark's been on with me from the port and talked about the amount of chicken that comes out of the port here. So, you know, the connection of the 67 counties of Alabama, but you think East Central Alabama, and then producing this chicken is maybe, I imagine most of that's going to be international. I guess they might ship it to another place in the United States up on the East Coast. I don't know. But this is a big export for Alabama. And it's something that we're seeing this happen where they're squeezing, you know, squeezing the local producers to a point. Now, this is, you know, and it might be hard for people to think about, you know, with the, they're like, well, I don't believe in labor unions, this and that. Do you believe in, like, organizations? Because if you're local producers and you've gotten yourself over time, probably unaware, you know, you turn the, how do you boil the frog? You turn the heat up slowly, right? Gotten yourself into a position now that there's only these, Tyson or Pilgrim's Pride or one of these big companies that has a processing plant near you, wherever you are in the state. So you're beholden to them to be able to sell broilers. This is about broilers, meat chickens. I don't know what the layers in the egg world, I don't know if it's the same. But you got to sell to the company, right? The company provide, but they tell you, you know, what they're going to pay, how you do it, what your costs are going to be. They push the cost down to those producers. If you want to stay in the game, I guess you got to play their game, but you're seeing what's happening here. I would be interested to see if there is room because of this for, number one, you could have organization, but number two, maybe those groups do like a REC, not electrification, but if the producers could get their own processing facility. And I don't know if it's, maybe it's been talked about many times, and Jason and others that have, I don't have any of my family's not in poultry, so I don't know. Could you organize and make your own, and put the money in to have your own processing facility so you could have more of a free market aspect to selling those chickens? I think it's a pretty big Alabama story here. All right. Keith said no flights. Yeah, Keith, with the update I got, I don't know the full breadth of it. This is specific. This came out within the last hour. It said beginning on Thursday, both United Airlines and Delta have canceled all further flights to and from Ben Gurion International Airport in Tel Aviv. So they're mitigating risk here. You hear this press conference going on with John Kirby. The news of the day here, I mean, you're hitting Hezbollah, but you're also hitting the Hamas leader inside Iran. And Iran can be, you can sit there and be like, well, the heck with the mullahs and all that. But they still, they're still going to respond. Not even in the international side of it. They've got to do something because they got to hold on to power. And here Israel, right? The Satan, are they great Satan or Vice President Satan? Are we we're the great Satan? Or is Israel the great Satan? We're Satans, whatever. One of the Satan countries has come in there into their airspace, into their sovereign airspace, and done this attack. So you're the mullahs. You're either the religious side of it, or there's no real secular side, but the president there in Iran. You're telling me that you're not going to strike back? You have to do that to keep your people quelled that you were just attacked. They're not going to sit back and sit on their hands and say, oh, that's okay. So how much are they going to hit back now? You know, they did the rocket attack before, and that was striking an embassy off, not in Iran. So what are they going to do now? Strike back, and then what is Israel going to do back? And then what involvement is our country going to have in this? So I do think it's a world away, but it's absolutely worth paying attention to back here at home in South Alabama. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's get the story on the inventory of finance and options. We talk about the vehicles all the time, David, but y'all got a big inventory on ways to get money.
We do, Sean. You know, we've always got the financing for folks that have perfect credit, but the folks that don't, we got a minimum of $500 down, and it doesn't cost you anything to come in here and find out if you qualify. So if you're needing a vehicle and you're just scared that you can't get approved, you're scared that you're not going to be able to do the buy here, pay here program even, come and see us, bring your proof of income, let us sit down with you. It's not going to cost you anything to try. Give us an opportunity to help you.
Okay. So we do that, and then the nice thing is when we get approved, we got the vehicles right there to check out.
Exactly. And a lot of times with the buy here, pay here program, it'll narrow down to what vehicles you actually qualify for, because we don't want to put you in something you're not going to be able to afford the payment on. We need to put you in something that's going to help you get out of the situation that you're currently in and get you out of the buy here, pay here programs eventually.
Makes sense. So do this. Tell folks how to come find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. There's a way to put a credit app in there. And if you do, then we'll give you a call after you put it in there and get a little bit more information from you and see if we can help you out.
Appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. All right, let's check in on somebody's text here, and because they've been stacking up. Jerry in Fort Morgan said the port. Well, first thing he said is, okay, the weakness of the United States. So two subjects here, right? The weakness of the United States is responsible for every single thing that's happened over there, meaning, I guess, Israel and the Middle East. I have grandchildren who play soccer, and I can't imagine what I would do if somebody committed war on them. We, the people, sent them the money to commit this war, and we're going to have to stop it. And then goes on to say the port is making more than the producers. I don't know. I wonder, I mean, the port has got to have a voice in this too, right? I mean, this is, and so does the, I'm going to try to get the ag commissioner on, Rick Pate. He's a good guy, and get his perspective on it, because you're the ag commissioner, and poultry, I think, is leading export, ag export out of the state. I think he'd have some take on that. So I'm making note to myself, get Rick Pate on the show. Let's see. Dame Yankee says, so foreign company is trying to buy our food supply. But also, Dame Yankee said before, isn't Mobile Bay already considered a dead body of water? Mm-mm, not at all, Dame Yankee. Not at all. We're trying to make sure it stays the best it can be. It's not a dead body of water. It's could be better, but it's a great. Do you get out? I'm trying to be a jerk here. Do you get out on the water, Dame Yankee? Do you get out and fish or boat or check it out? If you don't, you should. So no, it's not a dead body of water, but it does take people bringing their heads together to still be for business here. But how can we make sure we keep the bay as clean as it can be? Buddy said, you're referencing a chicken processing co-op. Yes, they existed at one time. I wonder what happened, Buddy. Why did they go away? I just wonder if, and I know the outlay's got to be huge. That's the problem, right? But if you were like the kind of money, Erica said, $1 million for a broiler house to build. If you had that kind of investment there and you work with a, five, six county area or something like that, maybe broader. I don't know what like the too far to truck a chicken is. And this, I'm out of my league on this. We talk cattle, different thing. But could you work together in an REC fashion, like Buddy said, it's happened before, and put another one in? And that way have another option to sell those meat chickens at the real market price without being told, you're a sharecropper. It's used in her story, and it's exactly right. I mean, it's you produce these for the company, and therefore the company provides you the chicks, provides the feed, but they tell you what you can do, and now you're running these people out of business. Let's see. IT Jesus said, war is evil in its own right, but it's simple to me and you. Don't let leaders of your enemies that are attacking you live if you know where they are. I would only hope that if the U.S. was attacked in the same fashion, we would do the same. What's your opinion to ask permission and the enemy leader gets away? Right. Okay. So, but here's the problem, IT Jesus. My ideas of what would happen if they attacked us and to Jerry and others is one thing. They attacked us. Then the fact that we bring the might of U.S. military on them is they attacked us and we're going to attack them back. But in the case of Israel, Israel was attacked, right? They're an ally, but how far do we go committing our people to what, and I pray it's not, but I mean, I've worried about this since October, that how this ends up in anything but a broader Mideast war with some bigger players in it and demands our entrance into it. I wish somebody, and not rhetorical, I wish somebody could tell me, here's how it goes, here's how it ramps up, and here's how the United States doesn't somehow get sucked into this. So, no, IT Jesus, if it was our people and they don't, I completely understand it. I mean, who knows what we've done in the past, but the number, one of the most dangerous jobs on earth is not a crab fisherman out of Alaska or somebody working a timber operation. It would have been a physicist working on the nuclear program in Iran. Those folks had, they had heart attacks and car wrecks and all kind of stuff. Not saying we had anything to do with that, but you push back that way, but that's when it's a direct threat. What do you do when it's not us, it's Israel? How far do we go in this commitment to them? All right, news is coming up. We'll come right back. More of Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Watching right now on the monitor, Trump, he's at the National Association of Black Journalists on a panel there, and just got to hear a few questions, but he's getting the J.D. Vance cat lady question as well. And he did push back a little bit on it, and talked, then he said, well, why don't you ask J.D. Vance? So it's, I don't know how the whole thing's going. We'll kind of keep an eye on this, probably talk about this more tomorrow after we can watch this. I did a little looking around on the web during the break, and because I saw the market's up, Dow's at 41,000 plus right now, and with the story of what's going on in the Middle East, I thought to just, this is just me, I just went to look at some bigger U.S. Weapons manufacturers and see where their stock is, right? So we can do a, let's do a 5-day here. Not a one of them that I looked at is down. And even, Lockheed Martin is up from, it was down around 520 in the 5-day. It's now sitting at 541.94 a share. So that's Lockheed Martin. Northrop Grumman. So they, they were at 460 a share on the 5-day. They are now at 486.72. Okay, they're up. Let's look at old GD, General Dynamics Corporation here on the 5-day, as they were as low as 286.61, and they are now at 298.15. Boeing Company, they were as low as 189.88. They're now, as of right now, in trading 195.58. Just up, up, up. All these just climb up, up, up over the last, that's the 5-day, but they've definitely grown just today in their share price. Honeywell International was 205.98 at the low for the, well, that's not even the low, that's the 5-day beginning. So they were at 199.54 for Honeywell. They are at 205.83 right now. Could go down the list further, I picked like the top five to look through. So if that's any tell of where the market might think, things are going, you've got, in addition to what's going on with Israel and Iran and what might happen next, you saw this, we discussed it when the story was during the NATO meeting, and they talked about how they're going to get F-16s to Ukraine. Well, that showed up today in the news, the first F-16s. Says first F-16 fighter jets arrive in Ukraine, according to Bloomberg. Ukraine has received the first batch of fourth-generation U.S.-made F-16 jets. Bloomberg reported this on July 31st, citing unnamed people familiar with the matter. Okay, so there you go. F-16s into the fight between Russia and Ukraine. So we just keep watching these stocks. Let's see here. Jimmy and Bay Minette. What's up, Jimmy? Said, Sean, I'm not a specialty in this field, or specialist in this field, but isn't the problem with the poultry industry a shining example of what happens when too many lobbyists get involved and allow the lawmakers to regulate the industry to where this is now? Can you even imagine when you get to Washington, D.C., how deep into the pockets the politician, Tyson, and the other producers must be? I don't know the answer to it, but I would imagine it's pretty deep, Jimmy. I don't know. Let's see. Maximus. What's up, man? Said, nothing stokes the economy like the drums of war. Yeah, but specifically Maximus, too. You're quite savvy to this. It's why I went immediately to the weapons manufacturers, you know, where those stocks are now. I mean, they've been up, obviously, with what they're producing for Ukraine. But this recent 48-hour or less jump in those stock prices, I mean, maybe it's something else that causes it, but it's just interesting. Just interesting. Let's see. And Jerry says, by the way, I fully understand how difficult it would be for anyone who supports Baykeep. Okay, this is back to the dredging issue. He said, so two-part text here. Actually, three-part. All right, this is a lot. Jerry says, what if Israel gave billions of dollars to Iran and they attacked the U.S.? be an interesting different world. I like what you're the thought experiment. Let me think. So Israel gives money to Iran, and then Iran attacks the U.S. So you ask what we would do? Yeah, we would, first, if Iran attacked the U.S., we would attack Iran. So what you're saying here, Jerry, is, of course, Iran will attack the U.S. because we gave Israel the money. And I think I'm deconstructing what you said there, reversing it, reverse engineering it. So, yeah, I just don't know how Iran's going to sit on their hands on this one, and then they're going to ramp up even more than their, remember the missile barrage, and then what happens here, and then what does Israel do back, and then how do we not? So will Iran attack us directly, Jerry, I think is what you're intimating in that sentence. It may be, or most likely, you know, some kind of proxy. Remember, unless something's wrong here too, and I talked about this with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I said, remember this guy, dirtbag, there in Pennsylvania that tried to kill Trump, got through, and I know Dana Dalton talked about the other day, all the new audio and the reports from the local police and all that, all the failures of the Secret Service in that event. But at the same time, I kept coming back to, remember the story the FBI has been telling us for 4 or 5 months that there's an Iranian assassin in the United States? He'd been here for a while. They're looking for him. I don't know if he's still here. You know, I doubt he cleared customs at Hartsfield in Atlanta. Wonder if he didn't walk across the border somewhere. But he was in. He's hunting for Trump and Pompeo and Bolton. So he's here, or was here. So, Jerry, is it a direct action from the IRG, which this guy, they said, is an IRG assassin? But, I mean, is it they're going to bring some kind of attack nation to nation, or will they use some kind of proxy attack? These are things that continue to worry me. Jerry, if they attack us directly, then you wouldn't hear equivocation from me on whether we would respond to Israel. But in a situation where it's Israel, I don't know. Jerry goes on to say, if we would allow Israel to do what we were not willing to do years ago, we'd probably be talking about the sorry blank Mobile Chamber of Commerce instead of this scary situation right now. You know, Jerry, I wish we could spend more time. I joked earlier in the week. I heard that guy when I was in New Orleans last week on radio in Slidell, and all he did, it reminded me of some of the early days of talk radio, that he spent all his time talking about where the potholes were and where the traffic was bad and just complaining about the roads. I said, man, it's nice to be able to just do that, good old-fashioned. I mean, I would love, Jerry, to just come on and just continue my complaints about the lack of light sinking on Airport Boulevard. It would be a happy thing. And then Jerry goes on to say, by the way, I fully understand how difficult it will be for anyone who supports Baykeeper on this issue. It would cost people money to stand against the Mobile Mafia on this or other issues. All right. And maybe with this letter coming out from the port, more conversation on this, hopefully next week or you know, maybe at the end of this week, I can get folks from Baykeeper back on, folks from the port back on. Yes, Paul, that's exactly right. Paul said, it sounds like the money printing machine's about to go brrrr. Yeah, look at those. I'm not telling you what stocks to buy. I have no information and a suggestion, whatever the disclaimer would be. I'm not telling you, but I can't tell you I'm not looking at some of these. Maybe want to get on the app tonight. Let's see. IT Jesus says, I agree we don't get boots on the ground until the blank really hits the fan, but the United States has to support Israel in their decisions. Our grandfathers and grandmothers have already won this war. There's too much at stake to show our enemy's weakness. How did we get here? A weak president. Yes. That's the thing. I agree with you. You do the old peace through strength. You're not the person, you're not the country they're going to mess with because it's not worth their time. And he goes on to say, market's got a boost based on market being convinced the Fed will reduce the rates in September. Yes, but if you look at the broader index, ID Jesus, look at the go pull it, because obviously you look at this stuff too. And with the Fed, I agree. But go look at the broader market and see what those increases are, and then look at the increases on defense weapons manufacturing stocks. Keith in Agricola, Sean, please mention Venezuela. And we did the other day. I don't know what do you want to, I mean, we talked about this situation. I mean, I said the other day, that hearing, was it Kirby? No, it was Blinken. Blinken was talking about the outcome. You know, we haven't recognized the election coming out of Venezuela, nor is the European Union and other countries. But it was interesting to hear Blinken saying, well, we were, in so many words, we were really shocked by this outcome. And yes, I agree that shocked, because I think the majority of Venezuelans, more than half, a good bit more than half, wanted to get Maduro out. And they're running whatever kind of hustle they're doing in the votes there. But I don't know that. I'm not on the ground, but I have a feeling that's true. But it's interesting on the other part to hear Blinken talking about it, because, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, nobody's going to clutch their pearls here, but just like other countries do, we meddle in other countries' elections, right, to get the outcome we want that benefits the United States. So don't you bet that Blinken, part of his mind was, man, we spent, CIA spent so much time down there, we spent so much money, and we couldn't get this Maduro out with this vote. Man, we lost out on that one. But if you're, Keith, you're talking about the continued protests going on there. You've got the Venezuelan military on the street, got the protesters down there, and I don't know how this comes out. Somebody had said, I think it was, who was it yesterday, that asked me about this, and I said, you know, I don't know how it comes out. I don't know how you, what I don't want to go do is go to yet another place to try to oust a leader of a country that's not ours. The update from CNN said at least 11 people have been killed in protests, according to non-governmental organization. And Venezuelan authorities say nearly 750 people have been arrested in their protest over those elections. And, you know, Venezuela, like I said, Venezuela, you go back in the time machine before Maduro. I mean, Venezuela has every reason to succeed, right? It had educated folks, lots of educated folks, had oil reserves, some of the biggest, if not the biggest, on the planet. Venezuela, before this all happened, and the Maduro thing, was, I'd say, a leader of Latin America. And then you see what's happened when you mismanage that. But how you're going to go in there and I don't know how you go in and undo it. Let's see. We'll get back to this. So some more questions on that. But, I mean, people saying, what do we do about Venezuela? I don't know. You tell me what you do about Venezuela. I don't worry about the protests in Venezuela, though, pulling the United States into a wider Latin American war the way I worry about what's happening in Israel, Iran, Lebanon, Gaza. All right, news is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, let's switch gears for a second here into something that brings the world together, right? Brings the world together. Outside of war, outside of, you know, have any events? I don't know if do Iran and Israel compete against each other in any events in the Olympics? I guess Russia's not there, or there's some Russians are there with another flag or something. Russians and Ukrainians, and I don't know if that's happening. But yeah, the Olympics, right? That brings everybody together. There's nothing controversial. I mean, the dang Olympics have managed to make themselves controversial out there, but let's revisit an old story. And this is a story I talked about months ago. I was into it. I'm into water quality here at home, but so I pay attention to stories elsewhere, like the Seine River, right, in Paris, that they were saying was so polluted. The people were mad, too, and I get it, that the French officials showed they could clean up the Seine, maybe, but they had chosen not to before. They only did it when company was coming, right? It's like, you know, fixing up the front yard because the grandparents are coming or something like that. Fixing up San Francisco because Xi was coming from China, not because the Americans that live there should have it. But the story from the AP, remember I kept talking about how polluted the water in the Seine was, but they had the Seine River for their aquatic events. It says Olympic triathletes dove into the Seine River on Wednesday after organizers declared the water in Paris safe for swimming, following days of concerns about elevated bacteria levels caused by heavy rains last week. So the women jumped in the river near the majestic Pont Alexandre III around 8 a.m. with steady rain tapering off just before the athletes splash into the water. Okay. Some dunk their swim goggles in the Seine before putting them on and heading into the... I'll tell you right now, if I'm competing in this, an aquatic event, I think I've got no swim goggles. I've got like a... Got like one of the old diving... what was it? Like the dry suit diving things. You know, you see some seafood restaurant got the, you know, big brass helmet. I got something like that. That's what I'm swimming in. You have some tight-fitting goggles there. So it says they put their goggles in, rinsed them around there, put them on their, put them back on their faces, and here they go. It said the men followed in just 3 hours later. The decision to go ahead with the swim for the triathlon competition was a big deal for the city, Olympics organizers, and the athletes. Officials undertook an ambitious plan, including 1.4 billion euros, so $1.5 billion, in infrastructure improvements to clean up the long polluted Seine. They had been steadfast in their insistence that the swimming portion of the triathlon and marathon swimming events could safely be held in the river. Except the other day, right, when they had to get the levels back down after a rain. Maybe this is, if you win gold here in the Olympics, or you get a medal in any of these events, maybe you have a multiplier effect in it, because you did it, not only did you have to have the physical fortitude to win this thing, you had to have the bravery to jump into the Seine and swim in it. It says, after days of uncertainty following the rain on Friday and Saturday, organizers said early today that the latest test of the water showed, not that it's clean, listen to how they word this, showed compliance with standards. Okay, compliance with standards. I don't know what the standards are. They said they couldn't contain their delight with the gamble of holding the Olympic events in the long toxic river was paying off. Rah, 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 ooh, la, la, I say. Said infrastructure projects undertaken to better manage wastewater have paved the way for Paris's ultimate goal, allowing Parisians to enjoy the waterway again after a century of it being off limits. So is that what we need here? We need the Olympics to come to Mobile so we can tackle our water issues. We keep the out of the water around here. Say, listen, we couldn't get it done, but hey, the Summer Olympics are coming to Mobile. And we want to make sure that people can hold the triathlon event in Three Mile Creek. So what do we got to do to clean it up? Just an idea out there. But yeah, just revisiting the Seine there. All right. Supermom, I don't know. Supermom asks, is there anywhere on earth that's currently not figuratively on fire? The world is stressing me out. Lord have mercy. Everything good in Australia and New Zealand right now, I think, maybe. Maybe I'm trying to pick somewhere. The Marshall Islands, I don't know if it's good there. Irish Indian, they should have the Olympics swimming events in Dog River right here in the good old U.S. of A. Let's see. So the heavy rain, this texture says, so the heavy rain, not the human feces, polluted the river. No, it's the... It's the heavy rain carrying, right? That's what's carrying. I don't know, Brandon said, those Mobile Bay standards. Now, I don't know what they are. And good on, you know, you can be wherever you are on this latest debate around Baykeeper. But their swim report, I think, is a great thing. You can go on their website and see. They do the sampling of the water, like before you're taking the family down the beach and go swimming to see those tests of the water quality. I think that's important. Brandon, I don't know. What would the French standard be? I have no idea. Do not know. Jerry, do you know why the French planted trees along the Seine? They wanted the Germans to be able to march in the shade. See, that, I've heard a lot of those kind of jokes over my life. I'd never heard that. Never heard that before. And Tim said, Sean, the same thing at the Grand Man in Fairhope every year. Same thing happens at the Grand Man in Fairhope every year with water quality. Yeah, that's one of the places that I just go, you got to be kidding me. We're going to let that place be shut down. Maybe we just have that as part of the... You want to show how tough you are in a triathlon? Well, you've won a triathlon, you know, in the swimming portion, or you've gone, you know, in the swimming competition. Have you done it in polluted water? I mean, those of y'all that did it in clean water, that's nothing. I've won that baby in the Seine. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll We'll do this again tomorrow. Another edition of Midday Mobile coming your way. Oh, and also, yeah, programming note. I'm back on the morning show this week, so I'll be actually in at 6 with Dan for Mobile Morning. So twice tomorrow, we'll have a chance to talk.